Hey everyone, Tawny here. I am so excited to share that my husband and I launched a non-alcoholic beverage called Parentheses. It's technically two drinks, a before and an after. The before uses herbs that stimulate the senses, and the after uses herbs that calm the senses. Head to drinkparentheses.com and follow us at drinkparentheses. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Recovery Rocks. It is your girl, Tawny, joined by my BFF,
Lisa.
Hello, my love.
Hello, dear.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we were talking before we hit record on this episode about how recovery is very, it's a roller coaster. It's bittersweet. There's good stuff. There's devastating stuff. And I think today's episode might echo that sentiment. What do you think?
It's definitely got the highs and the lows. That's for sure.
It has the highs and the lows. So let's start with a high. How does that sound?
Yes, let's do it, because we've been saying we were going to have a big announcement soon.
Yeah, so that,
and
let's
now
just
it's here.
Let's just announce it.
Let's get into it. Let's be happy.
We are releasing a card deck, a freaking card deck.
Yes.
As listeners of this show know, we are obsessed with card decks, especially tarot. But this is not a tarot deck. What we're releasing.
Not at all.
It's a resource deck, and we are really taking the vibe of our podcast and putting it into these tangible little cards that you can use as resources, tips, accountability. You can take some of these cards with you, keep them in your back pocket, literally keep them in your back pocket, make them a screenshot on your phone. But they're these little nuggets of recovery wisdom that Lisa and I have learned over our, God, collected, how many years of recovery do we have together, Lisa? I'm 8.
Almost 28.
Yeah, that's...
Hopefully I'll have 20 in April. Yeah.
So, I mean, so almost 30 years of shared recovery.
And every minute of it. Every minute of it.
Yeah, it's kind of
wild.
But
yeah, I mean, I think... The way we set it up is that it's basically going to be called, I think, the sobriety deck. And it is for anybody sober or sober curious, anybody who's just choosing on any given day to not pick up a drink. And it is, the deck is broken into, it's going to be 50 cards. It's being published by Clarkson Potter, which is the cards gifts arm of Penguin Random House. So we're very excited about that. We have an incredible editor on it. And there's five categories. There's, I don't have it in front of me, but I think I can recite it. We have a sobriety toolkit. Each one is 10 cards. Sobriety toolkit, knowing ourselves, relationships, showing up, and experiencing joy. And so it will be, you know, I'm sure, and we'll put links in the show notes, I think, to some of our favorite card decks. Things like, there is a rock musician's card deck we love. There's Ruby Warrington has an astro deck we love. Yeah. The Hack Your Nervous System deck. It's just something to...
That is the card deck that actually inspired this card deck, Lisa. Remember when I got the Hack Your Nervous System card deck, which is, we highly recommend.
Yes, I will put the links in.
Yeah, we'll put the links for all these in. But I remember, I love using the Hack Your Nervous System card deck when I'm stressed. I don't necessarily want to read a book, but I just want like a card that can give me some breath work or a stretch or some sort of activity that I could do right now that'll make me feel better. And it helps me when life gets tough. So that I love it as a user. And B, I was like, Lisa, we got to do something like this. Like this, we need
and
to
I was
do-
like, yeah, that's not going to, come on. I was like, we'll do a deck, right. Okay. You're like, no, really, we need to do a deck.
I was like, no, seriously. Like, yeah. like, and then
no,
I
No, seriously.
I started to pay attention to the card deck space, which is buzzing right now. You know, I am I'm a publishing nerd. I like to keep up to date with what's going on in publishing, the books that are coming out, the card, and now that card decks that are coming out. And I was seeing, you know, there's all these, you know, there's anxiety card decks, mental health card decks, date night card decks.
Inspiration, gratitude, all of these and kinds of things.
And like Rupi Kaur, the Instagram poet, she has a card deck of like a poem a day. So there's like, there's so many card decks coming out. And I was like, where's the recovery card deck? Let's do this. Let's make this happen.
It was pretty amazing that there was no sort of recovery related sobriety card deck that we found that spoke to us. There's like a couple things kind of, but nothing that really spoke to us. And, you know, the way I see using it, like I remember when I was, you know, newly sober, but all the way through, you know, I was when I left my job in at the law firm in 2019, you know, I was still doing this, you know, 15 years sober. I had in my desk drawer at work a meditation, a daily meditation thing. Like, so when I got like overwhelmed at work or when someone really pissed me off, whatever was going on, I could, you know, go into my office, read the meditation, breathe, just think about it and calm down. And just, it was just kind of knowing there's that companion in my desk drawer. And we see the deck as that kind of thing. You could throw it in your bag when you're going away for a weekend to something boozy or before you go. There's Tawny literally did a card of prompts to literally put in your back pocket when you're going, when you need an icebreakers. You know, when you need icebreakers and you're going to a party and how to deal with a lot of that. It's a lot of what we talk about, you know, based on what you hear us talk about on the podcast is that it's the same vibe and tenor and just in a way that you could always pull it out when you need a little boost or when you just want to, you know, dig a little deeper into your journey, whether because we have, you know, a lot about doing that too, going next level. But yeah. And I think for the thing that I think also I've gotten feedback from non, sober people in my life is that, you know, it can help them to understand more and support more someone else in recovery. So it's coming out next fall.
You know, like, allyship is super important to me. So
yes,
we kept that in mind when we made this card deck too. Like some of the cards even say like, give this to someone so they know how to help you, you know, like how to show up for you. Because I think, you know, the essence of every episode that you and I do, Lisa, is that you are not alone. And you cannot do this alone. You need community, even if it's just that one accountability buddy or a sponsor, a therapist, peer support group, whatever it is. Even if it's just a podcast that you listen to regularly or a book that you're reading, like you can't get very far in your recovery if you think that you're in this alone. For me, reading other people's stories like yours, Lisa, like that was huge for me. So we're hoping that, you know, Lisa and I, we've each written books. And so this card deck is an additional offering for, you know, maybe you don't like to read books or maybe you do like to read books, but you want something that's travel friendly or you can, you know, like I use the Hack Your Nervous System deck. I pull one when I'm stressed out and I just need to calm my nervous system down. These cards are designed to, you know, give you writing prompts, thinking prompts. You can take some of them into therapy and talk about what comes up for you. And we're so excited. And like Lisa said, it comes out in the fall. So it feels like it's a long time away, but it's really not. And we will keep you guys updated all along the way. we met with the graphic designer, which was so exciting.
Yeah, can we talk about the vibe? I wanted to talk about the vibe a little bit.
So we have the same graphic designer who worked on Deepak Chopra's latest card deck, Casual, no big deal.
Yeah.
It's stunning. We could also include a link to that card deck. It's his. Gorgeous, like gorgeous work. And she went through, the graphic designer went through and told us, you know, what this card deck means to her specifically and why she wanted to be on the project. And seeing some of the work that she's done in the past, and it felt real, you know. It's like, it's very
well. And also we had to submit a vision board for like what we wanted the vibe to be like for the design, and that was really cool. And what did we submit? We put in the cover of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. The cover of the Stones' Sticky Fingers,
yes, the iconic cover. Our logo with the 45 adapter, which I have tattooed. And
yes,
we told our graphic designer, we were just like, we need this card deck to be witchy and rock and roll and basically a card deck that Stevie Nicks would pick up if she was at a bookstore. And she was like, understood. I completely get that vibe.
Yeah. So we're really, really excited.
So we're going to talk about it.
To be finally able to share that.
Yes, we've been wanting to share it for a long time, and publishing takes a while, you know, contracts and writing proposals and all of it. But we're so excited that the news is out, and we're going to keep you guys updated as we, you know, we'll have, you know, you guys heard all about my pre-order campaign for my book. We'll let you guys know when it's available for pre-order, when we have a launch date. And other exciting things we're going to do too.
And we're going to do some events around it.
Yeah.
Some online and other too.
Yeah. Online and IRL. And 2024 is going to be an exciting year for Recovery Rocks. And
yes,
been,
we're very excited.
You know, we've recently celebrated 5 years of consistent podcasting, 200 plus episodes.
Yes.
I mean, I just celebrated 8 years sober. My book came out. There's just,
You got married.
I got married. I mean, so much has happened. I got engaged, launched a book, and married within 6 weeks. That was wild.
That is just unbelievable. So, yeah. So we have to thank you guys all for listening, because there would be none of this but for you. And, you know, we hope that this is something that that you like. And we just appreciate you so much. It's really something special, and we feel really grateful to be doing what we're doing.
It's true. So, that's a really good point. I mean, there's, you know, you could have all these ideas, like, you know, books and card decks and all that, but it's like, they don't mean anything if there aren't people who are interested in the conversation. And the fact that we've been doing this for 5 years shows that Lisa and I are very interested in the conversation.
We're still talking.
We're still talking, and you guys are still listening. So thank you. And we are so excited. Lisa, we're making a freaking card deck. Like, we're doing it.
I know. It's crazy.
And I've got to say, I'm curious if you agree with me, Lisa. So writing a book is a very insular solo process. Like, yes, there's editors and there's marketing. There's like, yes, there's a lot of other people, but the actual writing is very like, I'm alone in my computer.
Yep.
This experience has been wonderful because you and I have been on Zoom writing this deck together. So I'm curious if you had a similar, like, thank God I have a partner thought.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I love it because it's just more time I get to hang with you.
Of course.
You know, and it is really, I mean, it does. I understand why people have writing partners, because like it just flows in a totally different way. And like, I could never sit down by myself and capture the vibe of this podcast. Tawny had to do a lot of editing to make me not sound like,
well, it's
like I was 100. Tawny had to make the deck cool.
This is why I think this is a great example of why our podcast works, is because we're an intergenerational friendship. And so that shows up in our conversations. And yes, that shows up in our card deck, where there was a few terms that I was like, I'm going to like millennialify what Lisa is saying here. So we were like going back and forth.
And then we have to get it like even further down.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, okay, I'm a millennial, but I'm also extremely online. So I know the Gen Z lingo too. So
yeah, you got to go all the way in. Yeah.
But it's also on the flip side, you know, there's some cards about work dynamics, and you're really good about talking about people who work in corporate settings. And I couldn't speak to that. And you were able to do that. So it's like, you know, and that I focused on like the relationship cards because of my book. So again, this is, like you said, I understand why people have writing partners, because it really, this card deck would be very different if it was just mine or if it was just yours. I don't even know if it would be.
Absolutely.
I don't even know if I would even think to do my own. I wanted it to be ours, you know?
Well, I love it. I'm so honored that you wanted to do this with me and pushed me to do it. Because it was genius.
Well, so it was, it's not, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just being humble, but I just know what's selling out there. I have my finger on the pulse of the publishing industry.
Well, and what you like, what you use. It truly was like a thing where we went, there really is nothing like this there. So hopefully it will find its spot, you know, with people who it can help.
And can we just give a shout out to the fact that we got to deal with Penguin Random House? Like, how freaking
so much
cool.
For being humble.
Yeah, LOL. That's amazing. Like, it's funny because you and I, our books are indie publishers. So this is our first like big five deal.
Yeah.
You know, like this is, okay, enough bragging about ourselves.
Enough tooting our own horns.
Tooting our own horns. Thank you for letting
us
celebrate.
We're going to shift gears entirely.
Literally. So because we talk about how recovery is multifaceted, it's devastating and it's exciting, sometimes in the same day, sometimes in the same episode, as you're going to see.
Yes. Yes.
So we want to take a moment to I'm feeling emotional. We want to take a moment to honor Matthew Perry.
Yeah. We've wanted to talk about you know, what happens when a celebrity who's really out there and out in front in their recovery dies. And, you know, we don't know the cause. But Tawny, you were gonna say.
Yeah, I mean, I have not read his book. I've tried. I just can't yet. But I know you have. And so I just wanted to read. I believe this is an excerpt from his book, right? This quote.
Yeah.
So it's short. I posted this on Instagram the day he died, and it's the most shared post, most engagement I've ever had on any Instagram post, which was wild. And I think shows how, I mean, obviously he was so loved, like he was so loved. But it kind of blew my mind how this particular post resonated with thousands of people that I don't know. So I'm just going to read it. Okay. This is Matthew Perry's note. I've had a lot of ups and downs in my life. I'm still working through it personally. But the best thing about me is that if an alcoholic or drug addict comes up to me and says, "Will you help me?" I will always say, "Yes, I know how to do that. I will do that for you, even if I can't always do it for myself." So I do that whenever I can, in groups or one-on-one. And I created the Perry House in Malibu, a sober living facility for men. I also wrote my play, The End of Longing, which is a personal message to the world, an exaggerated form of me as a drunk. I had something important to say to people like me and to people who love people like me. I love that line. people who love people like
too.
Me.
I do too.
When I die, I know people will talk about friends. And I'm glad of that. Happy I've done some solid work as an actor, as well as given people multiple chances to make fun of my struggles on the World Wide Web. But when I die, as far as my so-called accomplishments go, it would be nice if friends were listed far behind the things I did to try to help other people. I know it won't happen, but it would be nice. Matthew Langford Perry.
It's just, I mean, there's so much in that. And it is, you know, it's at the end of his book. And when you go through the book, you just, if you've read the book, you see all that he really did a great job in the book of capturing how he was thinking and feeling, or not thinking and feeling in a particular way. And as you get to the end of the book, that's when you see him gain some self-awareness, really, and really come face to face with, you know, with his, not just his demons in terms of his addictions, but also the fact that he, at the root of so much of his using and all of the struggles he had was this abandonment, this fear of abandonment that he came by very honestly as a young child, and this shame he felt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be able to, you could see at the end of the book that he was starting to accept himself, which he hadn't. I think that was the hard, it seemed like from reading the book that was the hardest piece for him, was really accepting himself as he was and loving himself as he was and for who he was. And he really, this is why it was just like triply heartbreaking to see him die. And we don't, like I said, we don't know. We haven't seen toxicology reports. We don't know. I think that there's a good chance that his heart, I mean, when you read about the medical stuff he went through, I mean, just he was on colostomy bag for like 9 months and he had all these major surgeries. He literally blew out his colon it was tied to his opioid use, which, you know, gives you terrible kind of constipation issues and all that stuff. And, you know, he came through so much. And to finally see him at the end as being, you know, just kinder to himself, just giving himself a little grace that he wasn't able to do through all the struggles. And that's what, I don't know. I really feel like there's a really good chance that, you know, after all his medical issues, he was in that hot tub and his heart just gave out and that was it. And that it wasn't all this speculation about, like, was he using again? Was he not using again? Was he whatever? And none of that matters at the end of the day. Well, he did.
That's so well said, because I think it's an important reminder. Again, we don't have an autopsy. We are not medical professionals at all. We are just people in recovery who know a lot about this stuff. But like you said, even if he was sober, he did a lot of damage to his body when he was actively using. And a lot of us feel like, oh, I just need to quit drinking and everything will get better. And it's depending on how much you've abused substances, you're, you know, the body keeps the score, and your body, it takes your body a lot to recover. And some of this damage is irreplaceable.
Is right.
It's irreversible. You know, and we're talking about, like, you know, I know people who are in long-term recovery that have permanent kidney issues and liver issues from their opioid and alcohol abuse. So this is part of it. You know, this is part of recovery. And I know it feels kind of weird that we talked about something so exciting and we're ending with talking about something really devastating, like loss. But this, you know, he really wanted his legacy to be being a recovery advocate. And I feel the same way. You know, I don't know if I'm going to have kids. So it's important to me that, like, this is why I wrote my book. This is why we're, like, you know, the card deck. Like, I want to leave this stuff behind, because when I'm gone, I want to know that I've left a legacy. I've left, I want to still be able to help people after I've passed. And I know that sounds really morbid and heavy, but I don't know. It's how I feel.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I feel like you're right. And I feel like his legacy, I really did, for all the friends stuff. I was glad to see a lot of the press around it talk about that exact quote from his book, because it's so true. And I mean, your legacy, whether you leave a book, whether you leave whatever, what you're leaving is what you've helped other people do to change, mm-hmm. right? Like, and do to help them along their way. Your legacy is one of kindness and reaching out, you know, the hand to help the next person. And so, you know, all of, even if in 20 years, there are, you know, people just remember friends and not the rest of it, they're going to be those people who are walking the earth only because of the help and inspiration and whatever that he provided, mm-hmm. that may have never even, you know, have no idea what friends is at that point. But somebody who he helps get sober then goes on to have a family, then goes on to have a career that help other people. Like, it is all just like putting out there, you know, whatever we put out there, I think, in whatever form of just like helping the next person, that creates, that alone is like, you know, and we do it for people in our lives, whether mm-hmm. it's the people in our, you know, our families, our friends, or, you know, a community like recovery. But, you know, I think what he was so good at nailing, you know, closer to the end of his life, was that, you know, that other stuff doesn't matter. What matters is how you showed up for humans, right? And
he showed up.
I think it's just, he showed up.
Yeah. He showed up. And, you know, you could always tell when, you know, when they did that friends reunion and something was just always off with him. Yeah. You know, he was sick. You know, even though he was
truly never comfortable in his own skin. That was what he had not been able to get.
He openly discussed how he was addicted to making people laugh, like that he found his,
yes, that was a drug to him. Absolutely.
His ability to make people laugh kept him alive. And that is not uncommon for comedians. That's actually, you know, comedians struggle with a lot of mental health issues. And so this is not new information, but we really wanted to honor Matthew. And maybe for our music minute, we could, I'm thinking about obviously the theme song to Friends by the Rembrandts. And do you remember when that music video was everywhere in the 90s? Like, it was all.
It drove me crazy.
It was... Did it really?
Because I was their age. And I'm like, nobody lives like this. I was living in New York City, like working 80 hours a week as a lawyer. I was like, come on.
Yeah. And the fact that Monica's a chef who never worked at night. Like,
the apartment alone. I mean, I couldn't. When I first watched, I was like, oh, really? Now we're going to pretend people in New York live like this?
Well, and same with Seinfeld, you know, like, and that's, I think that's what, one of the many things that made Sex and the City different is it was actually in a world where we see, you know, Will and Grace, Seinfeld and Friends, they were all filmed in studios in L.A. Sex and the City was filmed here. And so it just was a different vibe. But
yeah.
And it's funny watching Friends now and just being an adult and seeing it's like, wow, that's not realistic. None of this is realistic. But it's, again, it's TV. It's not supposed to be.
Right.
But did you not watch Friends?
I didn't watch it heavily. To be honest, it was on it like, you know, it was before everybody, you know, obviously it was way back in like 94 it came out. I was not home from work at 8 o'clock at night. Like, so no, I missed a lot of Friends.
Okay.
I missed a lot of Friends. But I did, I would try to get Seinfeld. And I wasn't like somebody who would like tape or stuff. I was much more into Seinfeld than Friends.
Yeah. I think I got... Same. I grew up watching Friends. And for those of you listening who remember when shows were on at a specific time, and if you missed it, you missed it. I remember it was Seinfeld and then Friends, or Friends and then Seinfeld. Yeah. It was Thursday night. It was both of them. And I remember I always tried to watch Friends and try to get into it, but I was just more into Seinfeld. I found Friends later in life, like I think in my early 20s. On when I bought
a lot of people did
the box set DVDs of Friends. And it's so funny because there's some shows like Friends and The Office that Gen Z is just really latching on to. Like everyone, like I know 13-year-olds who've seen every episode of Friends, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's wild to me that these you don't realize that a show is going to be timeless while it's hot, but it.
Yeah.
It's one of those shows. And so we love you, Matthew, and we are continuing your legacy. We are honoring your legacy of yes, Friends, but you did way more. And we're thinking of you.
Honoring what you wanted to be honored for.
Yeah.
So, okay. That was an up and down. What goes up must come down.
I mean,
the spinning wheel song.
This is recovery. It's like, what did I say before we recorded? Like, it's great news and death. That is.
And death. Right. You were like, it's great news and death. It's recovery.
This is it. This is what mental health, this is what like being mental health advocates is. It's celebrating the stuff that you still have and honoring what's no longer here.
Yeah.
And who are no longer here. So thank you for letting us gush and for letting us honor our, you know, brother in recovery, Matthew Perry. And take care of yourself today. Do something that'll make you smile. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. And you can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar. And it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.